Welcome to the Buckhead Church Podcast. If you want to learn how you can be more engaged with our church, check us out online at buckheadchurch.org, or you can connect with us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. I hope the following message inspires you to take the next step forward in your faith journey. Check it out.
Well, thanks for being with us again today. I am just as excited as I normally am. You probably get tired of hearing me say I'm excited, but I am excited because today I get to talk with some old friends who just happen to be experts on virtual culture, working from home. Welcome Brian and Shannon Miles. How are y'all doing today?
What's going on, Clay? Thrilled to be here.
Good to see you.
Yes.
You guys are at home today, just like everyone is at home today.
We're always at home.
Yep.
I was just going to say, but you're always at home. Hey, if you would tell everybody a little bit about Belay and tell everybody a little bit about how you got into this.
Yeah, you bet. So Shannon and I, we started Belay back in 2010. It's a virtual service company because we know it's really hard to find great people, especially around admin type things. And so we come along, busy leaders and busy organizations, and serve them with really great people around the U.S. We've been fortunate to work from home for the last 10 years. Our team's grown to 1,100 people all over the U.S. We're U.S.-based, and we've never had an office, not once. And so we've learned a couple things about working remote and leading remotely, and hopefully we can share those things with everybody, and people will find help in that.
Love that. 1,100 employees?
1,100 team members. So it's a mix of employees and contractors.
Yeah, gotcha. And hey, we should also at some point come back and do have another conversation about when we're not in the middle of a global pandemic.
Yeah.
Maybe we can talk about working with your spouse, because you guys have led your company together since the inception of it. Tell us about that. How do you split up responsibilities? What's your standard answer on working together?
Yeah, we did. We quit our jobs on the same day in 2010. So when we started the company, we went all in together and used our 401k to fund it. So we had to make this thing work. But you know, in the beginning, I think our biggest struggles were around figuring out the lanes that each of us should be functioning in and where our skills were best used in the organization. And a lot of that was tied to our personalities, our passions, our past experiences. And, you know, in the early days, you're wearing all the hats. So defining those roles and responsibilities between the two of us was really key, especially as we started to grow and add on additional team members. But we get asked a lot about work-life balance and, you know, family and work, and you work from home and you're married. How do you separate all of that? And the truth is, we don't. It's just all very fluid for us. It works for us to have it all integrated. We talk about work with our kids. We go to school activities during the day. Like, it's just for us a very fluid work-life balance that, you know, you have certainly different seasons where one is, you know, you're pulled in one direction more than another. But I would choose that over a very rigid, got to shut it off at 5 o'clock, can't talk about business after that time kind of approach. That just won't work for us.
Yeah, we're just two different people, you know, and that's what's made it actually work, is her strengths are not mine and my strengths are not hers. And so, you know, for example, I'm very, you know, rubber meets the sky, and she's very much rubber meets the road. And that really helps when you're talking about vision and, you know, being forward looking versus execution in organization. And it's translated really well. And we've been very fortunate, you know, for how we've been able to work together.
I mean, we never fight.
Never.
We've never disagreed on anything ever. Yeah.
Shannon, I love what you said, though, that work-life balance, you just immediately started shaking your head. Because the truth is, work-life balance is really a myth for everyone. The idea of balance is just, it's so hard. It's impossible, really, to strike. So maybe at some point we can come back and have that conversation. But for today, you wrote a book called Virtual Culture, which I went to find my copy of it so I could... There you go. I was going to hold it up, but my copy's in my office at work, which I can't get to right now, or I'm choosing not to get to right now.
Yeah.
So there it is.
I
love the concept that you guys have really talked about for the last couple of years now, or I know you've been leading this business for 10 years, but since this book has come out, I know you've probably talked more about it and spoken more about it. The concept of leading from home and not just working from home. That's what I want to spend the majority of our conversation today talking about. You've got six things that everybody needs to know if you're going to make a decision today to lead from home. So today's really specifically for those of you that are managing other people. How do you manage people? How do you be a boss from home, from a remote location? And you guys have been doing it for a long time. So jump in, kick us off. The floor is yours. Help us do it well.
The funny thing, thanks, Clay. The funny thing with this book is that it's actually more relevant today than it was when it first launched back in 2018. You know, like, I'm not sure many authors can say that, but it's kind of funny. We've had the opportunity to lead from home, and we've taught our leaders in our organizations how to do that in remote. So we thought we'd share some really simple practical things with you guys and go from there. You want to go first?
Yeah. I mean, let me just say this. We are all remote company, but we had some face-to-face meetings planned with Belay that we have had to restructure and do virtually too. So even though we are 100% remote, we're very comfortable working in this environment. We're having to adjust as an organization. So we have empathy for those leaders who are listening that are finding themselves at home for the first time, leading a team from home for the first time. And some of the practical tips that we'll share aren't going to feel a lot different than what you would do if you were in the office together.
That's right.
The basics still apply. So the first one that we'd love to share is just be really clear on what your expectations are for your team. Set those expectations. It's really easy to have your team miss expectations when you didn't set them clearly to begin with. And so really think about what that looks like in this season. We might be home for months with this. Who knows? And you probably have teammates that have kids that are with them, which is not an ideal work from home situation. So really negotiating what those expectations are so that your direct reports and the team members around them can be really, well set up to meet those expectations.
The next one is
an example of that. Let me jump in on that for real quick. What would be an example of an expectation that you'd want to make sure that was clear?
I expect you to be available from 10 to 3 with a 30-minute response time on an email.
Or I need this report on your activity or the results are expected of you by end of week, every week while we're in quarantine.
Or if you have to step away, you need to help your kids with an assignment or whatever. If you're going to be away for more than, 45 minutes, an hour, just give me a heads up so I'm not expecting a response from you that I'm not getting.
Yeah, I think this is actually not our points, but it's so important to over-communicate right now, especially if you're a leader. People can't read your minds, and remote doesn't make it any easier. So over-communicate as much as humanly possible. The other one too is for the leader is let your teams know that when you're available.
Yeah.
It goes both ways.
When I can take those ad hoc calls, like pretend like you're going to pop by my office. Instead, it's like you're going to pop by on Zoom. It's just say, this is when I'm available. Just being really clear on that will help your team to access you.
That's great.
The next recommendation we would give is have really intentional meetings. Don't go dark. Don't cancel meetings that you think, if we were in the office, we would have met about this, but we'll just push it off. Like, keep your business running as close to what it was doing when you were in the office together. Keep that running remote. Use Zoom to video chat. Record those meetings for those who can't be there at a particular time. Have an agenda. Have people on video. Don't let them have the avatar on. Don't go on mute. Like, make it as close to the climate that you created in the office, but do it remote. There are some really practical things that go into having a great remote meeting that can really keep your culture as consistent as possible during this time.
Super.
Something else I think is really important right now for leaders is how they delegate right now. All the more is they should delegate results, not tasks. So give them, this is what I need from you, and give them the result, and don't give them the 82 things that are the tasks. Let them decide what those are right now And you'll find that you're actually build trust with your team right now by just delegating a result, not the task.
That's great. So the first one, be clear on expectations. Number two, have really intentional meetings. Number three, is number three, delegate well?
Yeah, delegate results, not tasks.
Sorry, delegate results, not tasks. So we're on to number four. That was the pause.
Yeah,
gotcha. Which is a perfect time for number four, which is extend grace.
Is it? Are you serious?
I'm not kidding.
How perfect. It's like we set it up that way. Delegate results, not tasks. Number four, extend grace.
especially during this time where everybody is dealing with the coronavirus in some way, shape, or form, whether it's something as simple as, man, I have to work from home, or man, I have to decide if I'm going to keep my team or not, if I can afford to do that. Mm-hmm. We're all in a very unusual, stressed environment. So now is the time more than ever for a leader to extend grace to their teams and to themselves. I think it really, this is not an ideal situation for working from home. So it's going to feel clunky and it's going to feel uncertain. So just cover it all with grace and, don't be too draconian on your rules and everything because you're scared as a leader right now. We understand it would be really easy to just tighten the reins and choke the life out of the organization just to keep it going. But I think now is a time for our leadership to show up in a really tangible way by leading with grace.
Yeah.
That's so good to hear. And I guess it's even because I know you two personally, I know what driven people you are, which giving yourself grace is not, that's probably as much of a challenge for you two as it would be for anybody because you are so high functioning, high result culture. I've even felt that in this season right now because there's a huge opportunity for us as an organization to learn some new things and to try some new things. And I've been putting a lot of pressure on myself, but yet there's so little clarity as to what we should be doing because we did an episode a couple of weeks ago on parenting in a pandemic. And the couple that I asked, I said, well, let's start with the last time we were in a pandemic. Here's what we learned. ha, ha, ha. Of course, none of us have been in a pandemic. We don't know. This is all new for all of us. So what have you learned about giving yourself grace and how have you balanced that with your personalities?
It's funny. At the beginning of this year, we turned over the reins of the CEO role at Belay to our former COO, Tricia. So we literally have just taken a different role in the organization of being the co-founders and co-chairs. And we have somebody entirely different for the first time running the organization. And it would be really tempting right now to cannonball back in and take back over because we're scared. But the truth is, I want this to be an opportunity for her to lead well and resource and equip her. So the first thing that we did when it started to become clear that the business climate was changing very rapidly about 10 days ago, it's just, we just said, how can we help you? How can we resource you? What barriers are in your way that we need to remove so that you can lead well during the season? And I don't know that was hard because we have a lot of faith and trust in her, but it felt like, man, should we be doing something else? Is that enough? What else should we be doing during this time?
We made the right decision, to put her in that role.
Yeah.
And now it's our opportunity to serve her by resourcing and equipping her so that she can do her job as CEO. And I think that that's a good thing for leaders to be doing right now is asking your team, what do you need? How can I help you? How can I serve you? During the season.
That is a great, that's a great way to mine areas and opportunities where grace is needed. That question is such a simple question, but it's such a powerful and profound question because it really will help surface that both in yourself, but also with your teammates. So let's move to number five, fifth big idea on leading others from home.
Yeah, the best way to lead others is also to take care of yourself as a leader right now, just to get up from your desk and stop, looking at the stock ticker and just take a deep breath, go outside, get some exercise, have a routine. You know, we see a lot of leaders right now that are just sitting in front of their desk because they feel like that's the right thing they have to do.
Yeah.
And the truth is they need to take care of their well-being. I know it's obvious, but you have to remind people, remind leaders that their well-being is incredibly important, not just the work product itself.
I love that.
And then the last thing I would say, number six, is also have a little fun. You know, like we still are, you know, we're still getting our corporate team together. We look like a giant Brady Bunch on the screen. Right. You know, we're doing like morning coffee talks. You know, we're still doing things remotely and sharing those things with each other. You've got to find a way to have fun. Poke fun at yourself as a leader. Maybe there's a little video parody that a leader does for their team, or
yeah.
or sending out gift cards to Grubhub and say, you know, to your team and say, hey, and you know, help your local community. Little things like that bring you know, some light and some, you know, just a little bit of lightheartedness to your team is very important right now.
Yeah.
People talk about fun, but you two, it was shocking to me to see some of the stuff that you do, because you do not just talk about it. Give us, like, if you would, give us a little bit of behind the curtain. Tell us about your favorite music video that you two, the one that's most appropriate for a church crowd.
Oh man. Yeah. For many years we would do, you know, music videos with the team. I think the first one was Gangnam Style, which dated us a little bit in how old the business has gotten. We did Thrift Shop. That was a really fun one.
Yeah. That was really fun. Sugar. We also did Bruno Mars one down in Rosemary Beach.
Oh, Uptown Funk.
Uptown Funk.
So, you know.
And y'all dress up, you play parts, like you get involved just like anybody would.
Yeah, we'll give you the video if you want to see it. It's
Oh, I've seen a lot of them.
They will? Okay.
That's really fun. Hey, those are super helpful, super practical. And Brian, you're right that it's not rocket science. It's not brand new, but it's the discipline of it that you guys have learned how to do. It seems to me from the outside looking in, that's made what you do so successful. Just for those of you listening and watching also to know, I know so many people that work for your company and people love working for you, which I think is a remarkable thing to be said about your business. As we wrap up, anything, any final thoughts of encouragement to anybody who's feeling like, gosh, I don't know that I can, I don't know that I have what it takes. What would you say?
Well, I think that you do have what it takes. I would say that especially leaders or executives or owners of organizations right now need to be prepared that there's several people that are actually enjoying this, and they're going to start asking this when this is all said and done. They're going to work from home all the more. I think that this has been a seismic shift in how we do workforce, and I think it would be a prudent move to start thinking through what this actually looks like in a more permanent basis. That's something I would encourage, you know, for me, for sure.
For me, Belay is one of our three companies that Brian and I own. And with each organization, we've had to make significant changes, some tough decisions, being really flexible during the season. And so I would just encourage any leader out there who's either an owner or a runner of an organization or just leading a team, you are not alone in the situation. It may feel very big and overwhelming and that there is a lot of uncertainty, but take comfort in the fact that pretty much the majority of the world is going through what we as Americans are going through in our businesses right now too. So that has been helpful for me to remember and to also know that just like anything else, this is a season and it will not last forever. That's and right. If we play our cards right and do the things that we need to do as leaders, we may actually come out on the other side of this as better leaders with healthier organizations.
Well, and I love what you're saying too, Shannon and Brian, because both of you are also just reiterating, hey, you might just come out on the other side of this and find a whole new way to work. A whole new way to lead, which is really exciting. Might just be the silver lining for all of us in all of this. So, hey, thanks so much for your time. Thanks for your investment. Thanks for being such an integral part of our churches over the last 20 years. Thanks for the book. And thanks for this podcast. Thanks for this time.
We're very thankful and grateful for you and for the church too. It's meant so much to our family over the last 20 years. And it's our honor to be able to do something like this.
Yeah, I hope that's helpful.
Thanks for listening to the Buckhead Church podcast. If you'd like more content, you can always check out our services live or on demand at buckheadchurch.org. And if you want to experience community anytime, anywhere, go to buckheadchurch.org/groups.